Welcome to Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible podcasting explores pockets of awesomeness in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in. Welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible. Today, I have the privilege of talking with Dr. Brian Bass, who is the assistant superintendent in Osseo. And he is with us today talking about working on continuous improvement, really getting at how you do both up and out and down and in as you're operationalizing continuous improvement. Thanks for being with me today, Brian.
Well, thank you for having me, Bob. Honored to be one of the assistant superintendents that you're connecting with this year. Really, really honored to be a part of the conversation.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to have you on. I think to start with, if you could kind of help us understand what brings you to this point, how do you get to the point as an assistant sup really digging into and leading the work of continuous improvement for a school district?
Absolutely. So I think coming to this work, right when we get to the district level and we're part of a cabinet, we're responsible for operationalizing the direction that the board has given us through the strategic plan, right? So we get this roadmap, we get a mission vision, we get core values, and we get maybe three or four, in our case, five big priorities or strategic directions for our district. And then we have to figure out, okay, so how do we operationalize and show the management side? So that was the governance side, that was the board side, but now in management, how do we interpret this? How do we prioritize around this and make sure that our system is organized and uniquely coordinated to achieve that mission, right? And the board's job is to make sure that we are making progress towards achieving the mission, and that is a fiduciary responsibility for the board. So when I came into the district, the board had just adopted the classroom to boardroom process from TeamWorks, and the superintendent at that time, Corey McIntyre, was like, Brian, really need you to help us, right, operationalize this and build our capacity. And there was a draft and an iteration of a vision card that says, okay, here's how we would monitor our progress, making those strategic directions be what we align our work to throughout the system. So we call those strategic priorities like the through lines. So like we'll get every layer of influence for leadership all the way down to the classroom. How are each of these strategic directions? So one of those strategic directions is a culture of achievement. So how do we see the culture of achievement is prioritized all the way through from the board to the cabinet to principals to district departments to sites to their leadership teams to, you know, to the professional development of teachers all the way and then into the classroom. And so we want to make sure we have that alignment all the way throughout. So as I was, right, trying to learn about how did Osseo do this work prior to this moment? Like, what lessons did we have from our previous work with strategic plans and trying to operationalize them? How do we share out our progress or how we're doing along the way? And that looked like annual presentations that would come to the board where folks were owners of those different priorities, and they would share out information and data from that. And with the vision card process, it held us, I think it anchored us, it held us accountable to come with more than just like a one snapshot presentation. Not to say that that wasn't thorough, but like, this is like, what are these metrics that we're using to track our progress? And the problem with just looking at metrics, we didn't have the complete story of like continuous improvement, right? So if we're working on safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environments, what's the theory of action for that? Like what is our theory for how we think we're going to impact, how we're going to influence safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environments. So we worked with Education Resource Strategies. I came across an article on system strategy return on investment, which is like phenomenal. They were connected to Harvard at one point, and then our data and assessment, one of our data and assessment coordinators, Dr. Tom Watkins, had said, Brian, in St. Paul, they did this huge study. This organization is really strong. So then we spent some time with one of their consultants and they shared with us a process that they were doing with Dallas Independent School District around how do we make visible all of the things that should influence the continuous improvement process for each of these big buckets that we're focused. And so it included like, okay, so what's the strategic direction? What's the priority that management is trying to invest in? And then what's the strategy that you're going to use to achieve that priority? And then what are the what we call process measures or implementation fidelity? What are the moves that adults are doing in the system to try to influence that strategy's successful implementation so that when we go to outcome measures and we look at the impact of that, we see some real impact. So it gives us more than just outcome metrics, which is how we were talking about this in vision cards before. We were just providing outcome. We weren't talking about the whole story of alignment that is the continuous improvement process. So we have a goal, right? We have a priority that goal is aligned to. We talk about the strategies that are going to influence that. We talk about here are the adult moves and how we measure those adult moves. And then we look at, like, so for example, an adult move would be their participation in professional learning on the new SEL curriculum. What percentage of our staff participated in that professional learning? Then we go to sites and we do learning walks. Are they using and implementing the materials that we've purchased and invested in for that curriculum? So we're verifying that those things are happening. Okay, so we've got high participation rates in professional learning. We've got, in terms of the learning walks, we have over 90% of our folks who are implementing that curriculum. Now we can say, okay, so we think we've got some fidelity here. Now what's the impact of that? Then we look at those outcome metrics to see what are students reporting about the extent to which they feel safe, welcome, and included in their classroom.
So in your role then, as you're setting that up, you've got your team at the district level and you've got building leaders. So one of the things that I wonder about is how do you set up the pre-work and the implementation work with those two groups so that not only do they know kind of the what you're trying to get done with everything that's aligned, but also the how do you move around the conversations with those building leaders so that they understand a lot of the why of what you're doing?
So each year our system comes together for a system leaders kickoff in August. It's early August, and our current superintendent, Dr. Kim Howe, amazing leader. One of my favorites, if not the most favorite leader that I've had the opportunity to work for. It's because she's my current boss. Like, she really is. The joy and the rigor are simultaneously in the room at all times. But anyway, her kickoff each year frames our work as a district and as an organization. And one of her major concepts that has united and is beginning to unite our community, our board, in a district as diverse as ours, east and west of 169, really coming together in a concept that she has really driven home is holding space. And this concept of our ability to listen to any member of our community and they walk away feeling valued, seen, and heard. And it humanizes this experience. And so that ripple across our system, we did PD with our board around it. We did PD with our cabinet around it. We did PD with our system lead, like, so all of our directors who are outside of buildings, leaders in buildings, and that work is now starting to ripple. And we are seeing some early signs in our data that is starting to influence the way folks feel belonging and feel included and feel safe in our system. So when you talk about, okay, so how do we create the conditions for this work to happen and to flourish at buildings? We have to humanize the space first, right? And make sure we recognize that there's weight on leaders. There's a lot of things that we've asked of leaders. There's a lot of things that we've asked of teachers. And Dr. Howe was very clear when she came in, when she transitioned, about saying, hey, we have to be careful with how much weight we put on the system. And we have to monitor the weight on the system and make sure that we haven't put too much on our leaders that like floods their capacity to where they can't be effective at what they're doing. And so the last 2 years we have, if you're familiar with Teamwork's strategic growth and change, we have learning work, we have implementation work, and we have standard work. And that learning work, that piloting, that innovation work that we're piloting to see is this a promising practice? Is this something that could have impact for our system before we actually go full scale? We've slowed that area down to a very small area of the three departments that I oversee, the learning and achievement, the student services, and educational equity. And we said, those are places where we're going to do some small scale pilot work. But in terms of our sites, we really want to focus on high quality core instruction. We really want to focus on the academic experience that our scholars are having, and the SEL, the humanizing piece, that we're trying to create these safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environments. We're trying to deepen that experience for our scholars. So that is something that we've narrowed focus, and we're trying to go deep. And all of our leaders are aligning their operational plans to the district's operational plan. So we have alignment from what the board has said in that plan to the district's operational plan, to the site's operational plan, the department's operational plans, all that alignment. So we are narrowing and reinforcing and really braiding all the work that we're doing across the system. And, you know, and folks have commented like, Brian, it's incredible how strategically aligned we're becoming more and more aligned. And we're building, as Dr. Heil says, she has three C's: consistency, coherence, and connection. Like, we're creating more coherence, we're creating more consistency. And the holding space concept and the work that we're doing around humanizing the space is all about that connection that we have with each other across the system, and having really, she talks about best place to work, best place to learn. And that's something that we're really trying to build and cultivate in Osseo area schools.
Yeah. Huh. As you're working through that, there are, I'm assuming there are different entry points for those conversations to happen that you're structuring with your team or with different leaders. How do you go about deciding who facilitates those conversations? As you're thinking about the different groups that you and your team interact with, to get that coherence, to get that clarity, is there a process or is there a decision-making that happens around who's best to facilitate these conversations with these groups in order to create that?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I think everything starts from the top. I think we have a very veteran leadership group across our sites and across the various departments here at the district office. And so when the leader goes first and sets the tone, and our leader sets the tone, like it frames, like, this is our work, right? Like, no nonsense, this is our work. And then assistant superintendents, right? We're aligned to that. And then our directors in the departments are aligned to that. So when there are moments where assistant superintendents need to be able to speak to certain pieces, we do. And our director group is pretty dynamic, and their leadership teams are pretty dynamic in terms of their facilitation. I mean, phenomenal facilitators of professional learning. And we try to situate all that learning as close to the experience that our leaders have as possible. Right? So, and then we've learned in the last 2 years in our feedback, in our surveys from the leaders, that whenever we can have their peers presenting their experience with the initiative or with the project that we're trying to go deeper with, they really appreciate hearing from their peers, even more so than us explaining the theory or the practice or the concept. They really love seeing like how this actually plays out at a site level and in a department level experience. And so we really work hard to have leaders alongside us when we're breaking down the concept, and here's what it looks like. Here's the concept, and this is what it looks like. So that they can see that. And our leaders are pretty competitive. So when they see examples of stuff implemented, whether it's SEL, whether it's Tier 1 high quality core instruction, whether it's the work that we're gonna be doing this coming fall with learning walks with the University of Minnesota's Instructional Leadership Academy, We will continue to follow that methodology of making sure that they're seeing their peers leading this out in front of this work, and we're alongside supporting them. We're really, really finding is the right way to do this work. We call it with work. Not to you, not at you, not for you, but with you.
The other thing that seems to come up a lot is this idea of whether you're doing strategic planning work, operational planning work, learning work, is this idea of kind of a cascade of communications to help that alignment, right? There's different communications that need to go out to different people, but they they need to go out in a certain order to make sure that that stuff stays aligned. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you've set up, designed, and kind of communicate this work around continuous improvement as you move through it, or as you have moved through it. If there's any strategy to that.
So I'm walking over to grab our strategic priorities document. This is in all of our presentations. And so like this is this year's, we just reworked it. You'll see our mission, vision, core values over here. And then you see four of our five strategic directions, safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environments, culture of achievement, inclusive participation and communication. And then D is operational excellence. So these are our big four. And then our fifth one is all about, we've reframed it as the continuous improvement magnifier, right? So how are we in each of the priorities embracing this, like looking at it through the lens of continuous improvement? And how are our continuous improvement cycles identifying what's ineffective in our system that needs to leave, right? And that takes weight off of us, right, when we do that. And then over on the other side here, you'll see the three C's, Dr. Howell's three C's of consistency, coherence, and connection, which are huge in our system. So each year, this is a part of what, so this gets printed out. Every leader gets this. They have them hanging in their office. And this says, this is what's inside of the work we get to do. Anything outside of this is not work we're prioritizing right now. This is the work that this system is prioritizing right now. And this is a structure and tool that you'll see in slide decks, and you'll see people zooming in on these priorities and saying, this is what this workshop, this is what this professional learning, this is what this staff meeting, this is what this like learning leader session is that we have here at the district office. This is how this aligns to the work of our entire district. And it's a powerful structure, and it becomes really clear then, oh, we are leading from the plan. Yeah, that's the whole point, right? Like, is it supposed to get on the shelf and be like dusty? Like, no, the plan is supposed to be the blueprint, right? Like, this is schema, this is our methodology, this is what we're saying is our high priority work in this system.
Yeah. So taking from that, then, what does the sequencing look like for benchmarking, for then meeting with groups, meeting with the board, and collecting, reviewing, going visible with the data to get you to that spot of, yeah, we've decided we're ready to scale this one, or no, we got to learn more about it, right? Or yeah, this needs to be known that it's standard work or it's leaving the system. What's the sequencing of that?
So we have a vision card steering committee, right, which is comprised of leaders across the various departments that I oversee. And then what we do is on the board's work year calendar, there are dates for when each of these priorities are presented to the board for an update. And so it becomes the vision card update for strategic direction A, the vision card update for strategic direction B. So we prepare months in advance, right? We're studying that data, both the process measures, what are the adult moves data that we have, and then what are the actual outcome measures? What are we seeing in terms of the students' performance indicators? And how do we show up? And so what winds up happening is, in some of our areas, we feel like, wow, we've got a lot of strategies, we've got a lot of investment, and we're doing a lot of work in this area. And we have to ask the question, like, have we put too much in this area? Is it like gargly? Are we just throwing everything at the target? Like, how do we narrow in on one to two really important strategies? And so those are conversations that we're having as a vision card work group. And so each of those priorities becomes a work group. And then we come back together and share out our analysis, our thinking. And then we run our analysis and thinking through cabinet, right? And we say, here's what we're thinking about. And then the full cabinet will provide input and feedback. Or have you thought about this? Or have you thought about that? Or Brian, is this telling this story? Or is this telling that story? Is this the out and up work to the board and to the community? Or are some of these measures that we're looking at really down and in internal measures because the internal measures should influence the external measures that we're sharing, right? The down and in pieces that we're looking at should, if we're like, if all of this is aligned, should influence what we're reporting out and up to the board and community. So we work on that. And then on the board work year calendar, we have certain months of the year where we're presenting updates to the board on our progress. But again, that's always reviewed with cabinet before that comes to the board. And then our next step is when we teach, we're going to be working with our principals, assistant principals, directors around this system strategy, return on investment, that methodology that I was sharing with you before. We're going to be doing 3 trainings with our leaders across the system to help them get this thinking, this strategic thinking as a part of their process, so that as they think about their continuous improvement cycles, how are they understanding this in the concept of, I have a goal, we have strategies, right? And then we're progress monitoring the adult moves. And then what's the data that we want to see, success criteria that we want to see along the way before we're reporting that up and out to the cabinet, the board, and the community.
Taking that thought of the training and how do principals and assistant principals dive into the goals and such, is there any type of alignment that you're starting to move toward or doing with leadership, principal growth and development, the teacher evaluation system? Have you gotten into anything around that goes down and in?
Yeah. So this is an exciting area. We started under Superintendent McIntyre's leadership partnership with the Instructional Leadership Academy through the University of Minnesota, University of Washington, the Center for Educational Leadership, the CEL project. So we had all of our principals went through that, and then all of the assistant superintendents and our 3 directors went through the Principal Support Academy, right? So our principals are going through this this framework around how do we get clear about our vision for the student experience that we want to see in our schools, the vision for student learning that we want to see in our schools, and what is the level of expertise around instructional leadership that our principals and assistant principals need to have to move the needle on some of these persistent gaps, be it access or opportunity or achievement gaps. Like, how are we understanding that? And what are we doing as a part of the continuous improvement cycle to influence and interrupt those inequities and those disparities? So we had 3 years of that work. And then when we had our superintendent transition, we paused for a year. And now, because of the feedback that we got from leaders, they really want to make sure that we have assistant principals going through this work and all of our other leaders that support teacher evaluation go through this Instructional Leadership Academy. We actually just came out of 2 days of it the past 2 days. So my brain, I'm like fresh off of it. And it is phenomenal. And the feedback that I've received from the principals, emails and text messages that have come in today, thank you so much for allowing me to go this year and to be able to have this opportunity right away. And where we see this happening is it's assessing what is the current state of teaching and learning in all of our buildings. And then as instructional leaders, what's our partnership work with teachers and with the different staff from the district office that come out and support professional learning for teachers and help them with the monthly and the like systems professional development across the district? Like, how do we make sure that we're providing professional learning that aligns to the specific practices that they are finding that they're struggling to implement in a way to have the impact that the evidence-based practice or the best practice research is saying this thing should have? And so how are we showing up in a timely way to support teachers in building their capacity? So none of this is gotcha. It's strictly about verifying the current state of teaching and learning, and then how do we elevate and elevate the work and have our leaders really lean into instructional leadership. So we have organized the professional learning for our principals, assistant principals, and all the folks who are part of evaluating teachers. We have aligned all of that professional learning to the Instructional Leadership Academy's methodology. And so we're really excited to see this year we're going to be doing learning walks at the secondary level, grades 6 through 12, around critical reading strategies from AVID, looking at the literacy piece, and then the structured literacy. We're in our second year of implementing CKLA and Core 95 phonics for A5. So we're going to be going in and doing learning walks for structured literacy this year. So this is, I mean, it's, and all of it is trying to say is what's our current state of teaching and learning through this lens, through this focus, and who are the students who are persistently falling behind, and how do we ensure that those scholars alongside, right, their peers are having success and are able to access that rigor, access that content, and be successful.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. So I typically end these podcasts with the question of, if you could give anyone that's going to be coming into the role or is currently in the role and says, hey, I want to do this, what would the one, two, or three things be that you would say, hey, before you take this on, here's what you need to make sure you're doing. You can't miss these steps in order to set yourself up for success in this work around continuous improvement?
That's a phenomenal question. I think walking into it, I think you have to have a mindset of, right, the extent to which we can collaborate and partner and reassure leaders across the system that there isn't positional power like hierarchy. Like, we're all in this together. We're all rolling up our sleeves and trying to do the best we can to serve each and every child, each and every family. And that our commitment is to create, as Dr. Howell says, the best place to work and the best place to learn. Because we know if we're in an ecosystem and environment where adults feel highly supported, they have all the resources they need, the support they need, the time they need to plan, reflect, and prioritize, that our scholars are going to have a phenomenal learning experience. So I think... for me, when I thought about whether or not to pursue the opportunity here in Osseo, for me, I had to go to the mission, right? Because I have a clear personal mission, right? Students are at the center. I want to make impact. I don't play when it comes to that. I'm for real. I'm on purpose in that regard. And is this district aligned to do that work? Are they positioned to do that work? Are they resourced to do that work? Does the strategic plan point to work that aligns to what I'm passionate about and excited about, and all those things align beautifully for me. And then it was, okay, how do I embody the mission and vision of the district, and the so there's the district's mission and vision, and then there's the superintendent's interpretation, right? That vision and mission, and they've like, so each of the superintendents that I've worked for have really thought long and hard about what that means for them and the contribution and legacy for their tenure of being in the district. And so that becomes mine, right? So I'm aligned seamlessly to the superintendent to make sure that their vision and how they're understanding what the board is looking for. My job is to make sure that we execute that. We meet and exceed that expectation every day. Right. So this isn't about Brian Bass's agenda. This is the board's agenda and the superintendent's, right, like, interpretation of that conversation, and making sure that as cabinet members, we all understand what our role is. And then my job is to meet and exceed the expectations for my role on behalf of the office of the superintendent. And I take that, like, it's an honor to be in that role. It's an honor to be in partnership with the superintendent, the board, the cabinet, all of our leaders across the system. And like that for me, there's no ego in that, because if we're all winning and we all feel successful and we all feel supported and we all pull up alongside each other for thought partnership, thought leadership, and we're there for each other, like that's a great ecosystem and it's a great culture. And I feel really good about that. So that first piece would be very clear about your mission. And is there a match, your mission and the mission of the organization? And then really being clear about how is the superintendent thinking about this? What are they trying to, like, what are they trying to prioritize? What are they trying to plant as seeds to improve this district and improve the organization? And then how do I wrap my head around that, get to the whiteboard, try to represent that, and then get, like, confirmation from the superintendent. Am I hearing this right? Is this okay? Yeah, Brian, that's it. Okay, great. All right, now let's get to work, right? Let's get to work. And making sure we have that alignment across the system, and we're making sure that that's visible in every meeting and every conversation. And then the last piece I would say is self-care Like, I just think that's really important to have balance. I really enjoy working hard in this role and seeing like our board smile with satisfaction about how we've been able to help them really understand progress and continuous improvement in our system. Like, that really excites me. It energizes me. And our principals feeling highly supported, our teachers feeling seen and supported, and then seeing scholars, like our scores or graduation rates. We just had graduation rates. Like, we have the highest graduation rates we've had since pre-COVID, right, in our district. And so all of those things are just moments that, like, okay, that's why we do this work, right? Like, that's like, and it doesn't necessarily come quick, right? Like, this is 3.5 years later, right, before you start to see that. So I would also offer that, like, we have to understand that progress and the strategic growth and change that we're going for, that it is incremental, and that sometimes, like, that work that's happening beneath the surface, it isn't always visible to us, which is why we've got to get out to sites. We've got to be connected with leaders. We've got to sit in professional learning spaces and really verify that what we think is like happening above in terms of the metrics, that the things that should be happening down and in, that we're also able to see those things and monitor those things with them to make sure those things are happening. I started with the self-care piece there, and then I flipped back to progress monitoring. But the self-care piece for me just looks like, you know, when I'm not working, it's family. And then it's my, you know, my physical exercise routine. I'm a 5 a.m. guy. So I'm up at yoga, you know, 3 times a week. I'm in classes the other 3 days to really get some rigorous, right, exercise, so that I'm ready to be centered and present for the day. You know, everybody has their own thing in terms of what self-care and what that balance looks like for them. And I think, like, really being clear, you know, for yourself, what that looks like for you, so that you can show up great at work and great for your family, right? Like, those are two things that are win at work, win at family. And so I think those are things that I would share and pass on to folks as well.
That is fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you for being with me today and talking through the work that you're doing in Osseo with continuous improvement in your teams. Again, this has been Dr. Brian Bass, Assistant Superintendent in Osseo Public Schools. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you for having me, Bob, and all the best with the rest of the season.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible with Bob McDowell, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.